What typically happens when somebody dies? They stay dead. We all know that dead is dead. The people, the witnesses who saw Jesus die on the cross, they saw how he dragged the cross through the streets of Jerusalem on his way to Golgotha. They saw the way his arms were stretched out and nails were put in his wrists and his feet. They saw as this cross dropped into the hole with a thud. They saw as he cried out his last words to God. They saw as the Roman soldier poked his side with a spear. They saw as he was taken off the cross and laid in a borrowed tomb. They saw the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, die. They cried their tears, they wept bitterly, and they didn't think they would ever see him again, because after all, dead is dead. But then Matthew records these words in Matthew 28, 1 through 5. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. "Do not be afraid," the angel said, "for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Now, I'm just going to say this up front. The last service was a little dead. If you want to, I encourage you to talk back. Right. You can do that. It's okay. We're in church. It's allowed. I just want to throw that out there as we start, okay? Whoever that was, that's my man right there. So, today is the biggest year on the church calendar. If you look at Christmas, yeah, Christmas is okay. But Easter is where we celebrate our risen Savior, the one who died in our place, the one who burst forth from the grave to bring forgiveness for our sins so that we can live eternity with God. That is what Easter is. And ultimately, Jesus had to be born to die, but this is the day where we remember and celebrate and worship our risen Savior. Throughout the centuries, today has been the day circled on the Christian calendar as the day. Throughout history, in the early church, actually, they celebrated baptisms on Easter Sunday. Today was the day where they would come and they would spend the entire 8 weeks of Lent preparing for baptism. So when they got to Easter, they would be baptized. And like I said last week, some of you laughed, some of you didn't. I think it's pretty funny or ridiculous. Many of them were baptized naked, and we don't ever do that here. Just throw that out there. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that, Lisa, because that would be a little odd. But on April 14th, we're having our next baptism service. And if you have never been baptized, and let me preface it before I get there. Also in the early church, there was no such thing as an unbelieved follower of Jesus. The command was to repent and be baptized, to repent and be baptized, not to repent and go maybe 5, 10, 15 years and then maybe decide to be baptized. It doesn't say that in Scripture. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, this could be the week. You have to sign up by April 7th, or you could, just come the day of, and I'd probably do it anyway. But as a follower of Jesus, there is a special grace that is imparted upon you through the waters of baptism. I dare to say that if you haven't been baptized and you are a follower of Jesus, you are missing out on a blessing from God. So why not step into that place and let us celebrate along with you? As I read just a few moments ago, we are celebrating the resurrection. And I have to go back, because as I read those verses in the beginning, I really didn't get to process them, because there's a lot to unpack in those initial verses. So we're going to read Matthew 28, 1 through 4, and I'll give emphasis in a couple places as necessary. After the Sabbath at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Just hold on to look at the tomb for a minute. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. I picture this like an Avenger landing on the ground with his hand up. Like it was the angel of the Lord came down and landed right in that space. Going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. Thank God he did. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him. These Roman trained guards who turned out to be nothing of the sort, that they shook and became like dead men. It doesn't say maybe they became white, maybe they fell over, we don't know, but all of the scripture says is they became like dead men. Now, back to Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene, they went simply to look at the tomb. Maybe they were going to pay their respects. Maybe they were going to make sure that, you know, their eyes weren't deceiving them and that he actually was there. We don't know the exact purpose, but Matthew tells us they went to look at the tomb to pray or mourn or have some other act. And that's when the angel, can you imagine? They're just going there in this solemn state. An Avenger angel comes down right in front of them. And he rolls back the stone. These trained Roman guards become like dead men. They're shaking. They're scared. Who knows what their true reaction was other than what the scripture tells us. And the women witness this in total disbelief. There's great significance that the women were the ones who went to the tomb. In this day and age, not today, but back in biblical times, women were not considered as credible witnesses. If you were going to make up a story or fabricate Jesus coming from the dead, you would not lead with women went to the tomb. You might lead with Pilate went to the tomb. You might lead with the disciples went to the tomb. You would find a different way because in all four Gospels, it refers to the women as going, and this is one way we can be sure that this is true. It starts to head down the truth trail because we understand they were making it up. They would not have included that. The women are there and the angel speaks to them while the Roman guards are like dead men on the ground. The irony here is not to be missed. The ones assigned to guard the dead themselves appeared dead while the dead one has been made alive. And the stone is rolled away and the angel speaks to the women. Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see this place where he lay. We need to pause and unpack that a little bit too because this is incredible. Jesus was gone before the stone was rolled away. The scripture doesn't tell us the stone was rolled away and Jesus came out of the tomb. That's not at all what it says. It said the stone was rolled away and he wasn't there. In his resurrection body, as he did many times, as he appeared numerous places, he just left the tomb through the rock wall. And the women are sitting there stunned. And the angel says these words to them, come and see. Come and see. Come and experience what has happened with your own eyes. Look at the place where Jesus was laid, and he is no longer there. Now that's good news. Because you see, as the angel is saying, come and see to the women and those, I feel like he is saying the same thing to you and me this Easter morning. Come and see that a man who is dead is no longer dead. Because we started off saying dead is dead, but maybe dead isn't really dead. Come and see the tomb is empty. Come and see that the Savior of the world has risen from the grave, and might I add, just like he predicted he would. Come and see that the path has been paved for the forgiveness of our sins. Come and see that you no longer have to live in darkness separated from God. All of that is happening, and the angel is sitting on that stone speaking to the women, but I believe he's saying the same to you and me. Don't miss this Easter Sunday. come and see the wonderful thing that has happened. Come and see and experience the risen Savior that forever changed history. Come and see and experience the God who made himself human so he could walk in our shoes and live a perfect life to pay our penalty. Come and see him. It's not come and see just some guy laying in a tomb. Come and see because he is gone. Now, as I was preparing this today, I just had this in my mind that when we truly understand and come and see and believe these things to be true, it should change everything about your life. I remember when I was young, it wasn't until high school where I truly understood that the tomb was empty. You see, prior to going to high school, we went to church for a while at a local church, but I never truly understood what it meant that Jesus rose from the grave. I heard it, but I didn't understand, listen to this, the implications for my everyday life. And then I'll remember when it all made sense to me. When I heard that Jesus rose from the grave, when I saw and heard and understand it, it changed everything. And I feel like my heart exploded in my chest because all of a sudden, I wasn't alone. All of a sudden, there was something so much greater than I ever imagined, a love that sacrificed himself for me, and it changed me from the inside out. Some of you have had that same experience, where you've heard the name of Jesus, you've heard this story, you've understood who he is, and he has changed your life. Some of you just haven't yet. And the angel is inviting you to come and see. Come and see that Jesus rose from the dead. Come and see that your future can be 100% changed. The resurrection proves Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. It proves that God is greater than the power of sin and death. Anglican priest and author and theologian N.T. Wright describes the significance of the resurrection in this way. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it. That is incredible. This whole series through Lent, we've been talking about here and now, how the kingdom of God is here and now. And here's N.T. Wright and many others say that it began when he rose from the grave, that the kingdom of God is here and now. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God 50 times in the Gospel of Matthew. If he spoke about it that often, we should pay attention. A kingdom that is here and now, a kingdom that each of us is invited to participate in, a kingdom that will never come to an end. Now that is good news. Not just good news. That's the best news you could ever imagine. And the angel invites all of us to come and see that the man who is dead is no longer dead, that his kingdom has been established here on earth. But the angel continues. The angel says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, the angel says, I have told you. Now that you have seen the empty tomb, go and tell the disciples. Now that you have witnessed these things and seen them and experienced them, don't hold them to yourself, but go and tell." I believe the angel and the women, as they were hearing this, were overwhelmed by all they had experienced because dead people don't walk around again. When someone is dead, they stay dead. And here is the angel telling them that Jesus rose, and go tell everybody that he's no longer dead. I imagine they couldn't contain themselves. when they finally got to the disciples, I'm sure they just blurted it all out and just shared and cried. And it had to be this incredible moment because they came and saw that he was risen. And then they were told to go and tell, to shout it, to scream it from the mountains, to go and tell the masses that he is the Savior. Not to come and see and then to hold it to yourself and pretend it never happened. Not to come and see that Jesus rose from the grave and then say, oh, that's good, and go about your normal day. That's not what the angel said. Come and see. Go and tell. Essentially, he's saying, now that you have seen and experienced the best news the world could ever imagine, don't you dare hold it to yourselves. Go and tell. Make this known to the masses, starting with the disciples and then going from there. Go and tell. So after all of this, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. They didn't take a leisurely stroll to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. There are a number of times as I read scripture that I wish I could be there. But can you imagine the emotion of these women? They looked in the tomb. He wasn't there. They were running to tell the disciples that he wasn't there and that he was risen. And as they were running, Jesus appeared to them. They fell to the ground and they clasped his feet. I'm assuming they were singing, hallelujah, praise God. The emotion they had to feel was probably earth-shattering. These seemingly poor and powerless women were now face-to-face with the risen Messiah. And Jesus repeated what the angel told them, go and tell. Jesus was saying to those women, you are my messengers. Go and tell my brothers. You know, there are a lot of churches in our community, around our city, across the country and the world that are dying. There are lots of churches everywhere that are shrinking and crumbling because I believe that people don't take it seriously to come and see and understand that we worship a risen Savior. Many Christians see and hear that and they go about their life, and I'm sorry if this is, without giving a rip about it. They sing a few songs at church, if they go at all. They hear the words, they say, yeah, great, Jesus, and then they go and they don't follow him at all. And the churches are dying because people don't take this seriously. But if we truly came and saw that Jesus rose from the grave and then we were compelled by the good news, by his very presence, to tell your loved ones, your neighbors, your coworkers, I don't know, whoever you see, that he is risen, that'd change a church. And the church who lives and functions in that place is not dying, but it's alive and vibrant. Why? Because they understand who their Savior is and that he's not dead, but that he's alive. And they're compelled to tell other people because of the difference he's made in their lives. That church is what I want us to be. I want everyone who comes here on a Sunday to come and see and experience Jesus in such a way that they're compelled to tell people who he is. Because if you have the best news in the world that is just earth-shattering, culture-changing, history-making, are you just going to hold that to yourself? Or are you going to tell those who need to know? You see, dead is not dead. Yes, our current physical bodies will one day die. Every one of us will feel the sting of death, but that is not the end. Our souls, for those of us who love Jesus, will live on together with him in our resurrection bodies for all of eternity. And actually, there are two ways that this could all go for many people. Dead is not really dead, but there are some who will wish they were dead. It's possible that some, through their physical death, will experience separation from joy and peace. They will experience separation from the very presence of God, from his love. In other words, they will be separated from God for eternity, because not only do we come and see, we've got to believe that Jesus is the one. And for those who call on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. But for others who don't, it's going to be really bad. It might even be like hell. Because I think that's what hell is. To avoid the hope. To be void from the hope that we have in Jesus. But when you put your full trust in who he is, you're adopted into his new family that goes on for eternity, and you experience the kingdom of God here and now and there and then. For those who believe and they see and they understand, they've come and saw the beauty of who Jesus is, and they make it their heart cry to follow him with everything they are, their eternity is sealed with him forever. The prophet Hosea prophesied long ago about Jesus coming and what that would look like at the end. And the prophet wrote, "I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your destruction?" For those who know Jesus, they won't experience the grave and destruction. Yes, our physical bodies will die, but we will live with him for eternity. Dead is not dead. We can live in the kingdom of God here and now and into forever. If you're here this today feeling this tension, you're trying to make sense of all that. You say, maybe this makes sense to me, but I don't know what to do with it. I invite you to keep coming back. We're going to start a very uplifting series starting next week titled, "What Happens When I Die?" In week one of this series, we're going to talk about the resurrection body, what it looks like for you and me to have this resurrection body that Jesus had. In week two and three, we're going to talk about heaven and hell. We're going to talk about biblical images of both heaven and hell. In my years here, I don't know that we've ever truly spoke about hell the way we're going to in just a few weeks. But I think as we do, it will open our eyes in a whole new way. It'll open our eyes to the power of Jesus and his resurrection. That we get to spend eternity with him as opposed to eternity separated from him. If you're here today and you're like, "This doesn't make any sense. I think he's a Fruit Loop." Thanks, Lisa. You can pick up this book at the Connection Center called Why Easter. It goes into more depth investigating the scriptures and what it looks like to give your life to Jesus, to follow him, what Easter is all about, and how the power of sin was broken through the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to read and learn more, please grab one. But I ask that not everybody take one, because some of you already know. And we didn't get enough for all of you. But if you would like to find out more and learn more, make sure you grab one before you go today. Today you can know, too, that your eternity is forever sealed with Jesus by making sure he's your Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray. And if you're feeling a tug on your heart, like, "This sort of makes sense. I don't know what to do. I feel like Jesus really is the answer, but I don't know what's next," I'm going to pray for you. But this is the best thing you can do. keep coming back. Keep engaging and worshiping with us and learning. Get involved in a community group. Get involved in a community of people where your faith can grow. If you're thinking this makes sense and you don't know what to do, just keep showing up. We talk about this stuff every week. And I'm pretty confident that as you continue to come, you will begin to understand the beauty of our Savior, who He is, and the difference He can make in your life. Let me pray for us. God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You, Jesus, for Your presence here with us. We thank You that the angel called the women to come and see. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us would want to come and see more than we've ever seen. And we would want to understand who You are more than we've ever before. Lord, I pray for the person who's confused right now, who this doesn't make sense, who they don't even necessarily want to believe, but something in their heart is stirring. Lord, I pray that You would be with them and help them to sort out the things that they're feeling. God, draw them back week after week so they can learn and grow and understand who You are. Jesus, we thank You for Your work on the cross, how You died in our place so that we may have life with You forever. And we worship You this Resurrection Sunday. Lord, I'd be remiss if I also didn't say, for those of us who know You, put people on our paths who need to hear Your word, Lord, and then compel us to tell them, compel us to invite them, compel us to be a loving, caring person they can relate to and care, and that will care for them. And Lord, may our faith be contagious, not something we simply hold on to ourselves, but something we want to declare to the world, because the world has a sin problem and You are the answer, Jesus. So help us to live in such a way that our lives reflect the beauty of who You are. We thank You for this day. And Jesus, we thank You for all You've done for us. And we pray these things in Your mighty name. Amen. Now, we're going to sing one more song. Some of you can't sing. It doesn't matter. I can't sing, and I'm glad I sit in the front so I don't have to sing in anybody's ear. But let's sing praises to our King for what He has done, for our salvation, for the way He has changed the world, for the way He, as God, came down in human form so that ultimately we may have life. Let's worship Him with all of what we have in our beings right now. So why don't you stand where you are, get ready to sing as we prepare to sing praises to our God.